and even emotional satisfaction from God, but they haven't really seen the great spiritual value and truth of knowing Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to be in a little church that has a big God in terms of our attitude toward Him, and people in here that know the value of knowing Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and personal Savior. If it isn't personal, then there is not going to be any real satisfaction in it. But so we're glad that you came back this evening. This is still a busy time of year. It seems that it's been a pressure time for a lot of people that I know personally. There's a lot of pressure at the job. It took away some of that kind of joy that's supposed to be there in the whole Christmas season from people. You didn't see that this year. I think there's and you pick up the newspaper at any given time, it's almost like you're becoming numbed to a world that is absolutely reeling from all of the events that are taking place. Domestically, there's more murders, senseless killings and suicides. And then you look at the international scene, and you see what happened in Pakistan and the chaos that's going on. Russia aligning themselves with Iran. A man at work brought me a little clip out of the paper talking about an anti-missile system that was transferred to Iran from Russia as they align themselves with radical Islamic nations that are committed to the destruction of Israel, that hate the United States. And you see all these things being moved into place that indicate that we are living in the very last of the last days. And you know, I felt the very presence of God. I didn't feel down. I mean, it's not good stuff. It's not going to lift you up. But I know that these things must first come to pass. That the Bible said it clearly. We started talking about prophecy in the book of Ezekiel and how Russia, aligning themselves with others, are going to come up against Israel. And just what these events mean to us is that two things are getting ready to happen. The Antichrist is getting ready to come on the scene, and Jesus Christ is getting ready to come for His church and His people. Can you say, man, these things are about to happen, and they're happening. These ancient prophecies, we can watch everything moving into place. And Christians should be lifting up their head, because our redemption is, in fact, drawing nigh. After all these years of preaching that, it's here. And even the falling away in the church and in some people's lives that I know personally was prophesied as a sign that He's coming soon. That day shall not come, not His coming, but that day of the Lord, of judgment, amen, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The love of many, not a few. This is something that is a sweeping thing that happens to the church. The love of many, waxing cold. Once that happens, no matter what you say about Jesus, listen, if folks don't love Him ardently, from a heart full of appreciation for what He's done, reciprocating love to Him, if they don't love Him, nothing we say about Him is going to endear them to Him enough to be devoted. And people would quit Him and turn back very, very easily. That's why we're warned and forewarned. Jesus said, remember who? Remember a lady from the Old Testament. Remember Lot's wife. For as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day the Son of Man cometh. Amen. They were free. They were home free out of the city of destruction. But she looked back, and it wasn't just the glance back. That's not what it was about. Her heart was still in that city, even though she had come out. And people that go back, let me tell you something, make it very clear. Amen. They didn't just get overwhelmed by the world and go back. Their heart never left that city. Because if your heart ever leaves the world can't pull you back in it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Take this whole world. Let's pray tonight that God will help us to find some of these great keys to happiness, or take us wherever He wants to go. I don't have to continue that theme tonight. We want the Lord's will to be done. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your love and grace that has overshadowed us. We thank You, Lord, that even as Christians living in the end times, in the last times, that is marked with such negativity, Lord, that we are raising our eyes. Father, we are raising them in two directions. We are looking toward the eastern sky because we know your coming is near. And we are lifting up our heads in anticipation of your soon coming so that we're not overwhelmed by what we see happening around us at this very moment. And Father, while we're awaiting expectantly your return, we're also raising our eyes to look upon the fields, for they are white unto harvest. In the name of Jesus, help us have this twofold look that will take our eyes from the things that would distract us and depress us tonight, that we might do what we can for you till you come, and Father, that we might have a Maranatha attitude until you come. And everyone said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good tonight. I know that you realize that you're living in the end times. I want to if you'll turn with me to Psalm 32 tonight. It's called, and we're going to continue this theme tonight of how to be truly happy and blessed in this new year, because Happy New Year is just a catchphrase that everybody says. However, I don't know too many people that live out a year and stay very happy. And that's tragic when we come to Christians, because we do have Jacob's God as our God. And I'm so anxious. I'm just so anxious to get into a Bible study on the Lord God of Jacob, because there's reference after reference after reference after reference after reference after reference after reference, particularly in the book of Psalms, about the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there's significance to that, and I'm tempted tonight, but I want to do that really on a Sunday morning when we can hopefully minister to everyone that's part of this ministry and that in that ministry. But how many still are interested in living a life that is so spiritually fulfilling that we can actually find happiness in a world with such bad happenings, that we can be set in contrast to this world about us, not because we're flippant, not because we're unconcerned, not because we're hiding from the truth with ostrich faith, but because we see everything through a different lens. You got to begin to look through the lens of prophetic truth and understand the time that we're living. And we also have to understand that a lot of the reason for tension in the Christian experience is not just our conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are three areas of tension. There will always be tension between the Christian and the flesh. Amen? Always. There's going to always be tension brought to bear. The things that I would do, I don't do anymore, Paul said. Amen. I have an urge, but I don't give in to that urge. But that urge exists, and that tension, therefore, exists. The world system. We've got a doctrine out there that fits neatly into the world's value system. And it's a growing doctrine, particularly among Pentecostals and charismatics, people that have the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth to guide us into truth. And instead, I think we have put the Holy Spirit in the category of just a blesser instead of one who would bring us into truth. And that's why so much error has entered into the Pentecostal and the charismatic movement. I hear all the time scriptures quoted out of context. And people don't even question the people that are quoting it because they are quote-unquote anointed. As if being anointed can exempt you from being responsible to deliver truth. Peter was anointed so much that the sick were brought out and laid near where he was passing, that his shadow passing over them, some of them may be healed. But Peter went into doctrinal error, and Paul withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. People that just follow anointed teachers without looking for biblical soundness are going to be deceived. The blind will end up leading the blind. Amen? Samson was anointed, but he sinned, and he continued to sin, and his sin led him into captivity. Blindness, first thing they wanted was his eyes. Can you say amen? And I'll tell you something, your spiritual understanding, your ability to understand truth is something the devil wants to get his hands on in your life. The Holy Spirit is here for a lot more than a liver shiver on Sunday morning. Amen. He's here for something more important than holy laughter or falling out or any of the gifts of the Spirit. He's here as the Spirit of truth in the last days that would be marked with a greater deception than any other time in all of the history of the church. Amen. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. For no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light, and listen to this, his ministers as ministers of righteousness. That's deception on a grand scale. And the church needs to be biblically and spiritually sensitive if we're going to avoid deception in these days. Amen? It's an incredible time to be living. I'm taken back that in the most literate generation, I mean, people are able to get college degrees and yet they don't read the Bible with an understanding. It's incredible to me that things can so conflict with Scripture and yet be taught as doctrine, and no one questions it because there is a teacher or preacher that is so charismatic in their delivery, so anointed, as if the anointing equates with truth, and it does not. It should, but it doesn't. But we do have an anointing from the Holy One. And it's not to lay hands on people. It's not to operate any of those gifts of the Spirit. We have an unction from the Holy One that we might know all things. And that means a special anointing for truth. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how much truth? All of it. Hallelujah. Well, that's just my little P.S. postscript. It's at the end, I guess. I put the end at the beginning. Psalm 32 is traditionally called as a so-called penitent psalm, which sounds a bit gloomy, but that kind of gloominess that's there, this bones waxing old that we're going to read in a moment, is in fact the main theme of it is not gloom and depression, but happiness. It's kind of like when you walk into a church service and someone's up there preaching against sin and it's getting close to home. And we feel, oh man, I didn't come here to be brought down. I came here to be lifted up. Well, what you don't understand is if God can't talk to us about sin, he's really not going to be able to lift us up and keep us up. Amen? There's tension between us and the devil. He's an arch enemy. Sometimes we forget he exists. Amen. He does exist. And until he is restrained, chained for 1,000 years, cast into that pit, we've got to deal with him. He's real. He's attacking people. Some people are losing the battle with him, and Christians should never lose a battle with the devil. He's a fallen angel, and our master has defeated him. Can you say amen? Say it with me. Our master has defeated him. So the tension is not just between us and the devil because he's always coming against us. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. That doesn't look like a battle that we are about to lose. It looks like a battle that we always win or should be winning. Amen? Amen? You can't blame the devil for defeat. Can't blame false teachers for being deceived. He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. That's not about power. That's about truth. Amen. The context is knowing the Spirit of Christ knowing the Spirit of Antichrist when it rises up. Amen. Because he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. That Spirit of Antichrist doth already work, but he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. It's about truth. Again, charismatic era is we went after power instead of truth. And as long as we could feel something or see some phenomena, we didn't deal with what is real and what is true. Amen? We just didn't go there. In a day of deception, truth is paramount to the church. We're dealing with a deceiver. Amen? He's a liar from the beginning, but his lies are cloaked with enough truth to make them believable. He's not an outright liar. He's a liar that cloaks a little bit of truth with it. I was watching a television broadcast the other day, and this lady kept putting antifreeze a little at a time in her husband's food until finally it accumulated in his body. He couldn't taste it. He didn't know he was getting it. You know something, when I hear the Word of God preached, and I probably won't be able to get into this. I'm beginning to see that. Amen. I probably won't be able to get into this tonight because I feel like sounding a trumpet in Zion and sounding an alarm. Are you listening to me? Amen. Listen, if you told me that you would sprinkle my cornflakes with a little bit of rat poisoning, most of it's going to be just fine, but just a little bit of rat poisoning on my cornflakes, amen, I would tell you, I do not want any rat poison on my cornflakes. Can you say amen? I don't want a little bit of poison on anything that I'm eating or drinking. Amen. If I know it's on there, I just don't want it. Can you say amen? I want truth from God's Word. But she kept adding a little here and a little there. And he never detected, amen, if it was a big bunch all at once, he would have tasted it, spit it out. But he kept on eating it. He kept on consuming it. It kept on layering in his body until finally he died of a mysterious illness. But they almost looked over. I think they exhumed his body to do a second autopsy. That's when they found the accumulation of what really killed him. Amen. Error is poison. We can't afford a little bit of it. Amen. And in Pentecostalism, we've been the most gullible to error. There's a movement out there tonight that is so filled with error. And yet thousands of so-called spirit-filled. How can we be spirit-filled with the spirit of truth and be so gullible to such error? Amen. It's because we've followed personality and we've followed power. And we've not sought truth. Amen. You don't find a lot of Pentecostal Christians in a Bible study. They're at the crusade. They're at the revival meeting. They want to feel something. They want things to be spectacular. They don't want to just sit down and learn from the Word of God. And I believe we've got a largely biblically illiterate group of people. And some of them are leading some of the biggest churches in the country that don't even know the basic theology of Christ being the only way to God. And when they're put in a public eye, they do not confess Him as the only way to God. And they're leading huge ministries that are influencing tens of thousands of people. And it's a feel-good gospel. But feeling good is not the same thing as walking in truth. John chapter 8 is one of my favorite scriptures, verse 30 and verse 31. If you continue to listen to those tapes. No, that's not what we're talking about. Oh, but they're reading from the Bible. That even isn't what we're... How are you going to detect whether that's really true? Well, they're just so anointed. I had someone bring an erroneous message to me one time and said, but our preacher lives that close to God. I thought, I don't care how close to God you perceive your leader to be. Amen. This is not about how close to God or not close to God. This is about what the Scriptures say, amen, in relation to what is being preached and proclaimed. Amen. Anytime there's any doubt, we say, what saith the Scripture? Can you say amen? And the Scripture itself has to be rightfully divided. The Bible spoke of rightfully dividing the word of truth, not adding to, not taking from, not looking at the word of God with a worldview. You can't do that and rightfully divide it. I heard a televangelist the other day, and not all of them are bad. There's some good people on television preaching truth, but there's a whole bunch of people on there that you better watch out for, to be frank with you. Being on television and being a celebrity doesn't make you right. Only thing that makes you right is lining up with the Word of God. And the day that we throw out the Word just to listen to some personality is the day that we're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. And I believe the church is in trouble because we are letting strong personalities lead us instead of the person of Jesus Christ. There's a mighty work of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. When He comes, Jesus said, here's what you can expect Him to do. When He comes, amen, He will guide you into all truth. John 8 and verse 30 says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Amen. If you continue in my word, 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 if you continue in my word. I never had a Sunday school class that was very large when I taught Sunday school. never had very many people ask for a tape of the teaching. People wanted the prophecy. People wanted the word, word of the Lord. People wanted to fall out under the power of God. People wanted to be healed. These are all legitimate wants. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need everything to be built on a foundation of truth. What happens when someone that's not preaching truth lays hands on you and some power comes on you and you fall out in the spirit and you go back and you swallow the message because of the so-called anointing? The Bible said the deception that's coming in the last day would be so pervasive that it wouldn't be an astonishing thing if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. One of the big error religions of this generation is Mormonism that detracts from the New Testament, and any Bible teaching church would tell you this is extreme error. Amen. Biblically. Amen. Because there's another book laid down by the Bible, and it's a book that John Smith supposedly got from Jesus Christ or an angel of light delivered to him, and they call it another testament or another revelation of Jesus. Paul said if you get another letter, another letter, another letter. Once this is done, if you get another one, amen, to reject it. Amen. And where did this guy get this? He said an angel of light appeared. An angel of light appeared with this revelation that started a denomination in America that is huge and influential, and intelligent people, college-degreed people, follow that religion. How can thinking people that have a Bible to read not understand error? Because there is seducing spirits. Some of these doctrines are seductive and they're all deceptive. And deception is spiritual. Spiritual blindness is real. It's real. This is not a matter of who's right and who's wrong. This is about truth. The bottom line is truth. And how we can see a movement that has a worldview in it, interpret all scriptures in light of the worldview. One leading television ministry with 10,000 in his church and hundreds of thousands watching by television, he said, I was praying the other day about the scriptures, better to give than receive, and God gave me this revelation. You want to hear the revelation he got? Compare it to scripture. He said the revelation is this. Amen. The reason is better to give than receive. It's in giving that you get. Well, that may sound all right to somebody of the world, but any follower of Christ, there's a red flag goes up. You don't give to get. Amen. You ask. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Amen. What is the amiss part of that? What is wrong with, amen, when you ask, amen, to fulfill your own selfish desires and lusts? The Bible said you're asking inordinately. Amen. Jesus didn't live the kind of get, gimme life. And he didn't teach the get, gimme. My name is Jimmy, I want all your gimme. It's not what Jesus portrayed. It's not what Jesus taught. People are trying to justify their own worldview by making the disciples and Jesus just like they are. But it will not stand the test of Scripture. Can you say amen? Honey, everything should be submitted to the test of Scripture. This is the last day, the day of seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. The Spirit speak expressly that in the last days many shall depart from the faith. Why? What faith? What faith? The faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. This is not a day to be changing things. This is a day to be contending for the original. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible said, I suppose that is requisite that I write to you that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Before the first generation of Christians had passed, the faith was already under attack. Amen. Can you say amen? Satan wanted to dismantle it piece by piece. And he still wants to dismantle the faith. It's hard to hear a pure message based on the Bible today when there are so many ulterior motives in preaching. Some people are raising funds. What happens when you raise funds? People twist scripture. There's a prophetic scripture in the Old Testament about the restoration of Israel. A time when the Jewish nation will have revival. A time when Jews will accept their Messiah. A time future and has not arrived yet. And the riches of the world. The Bible said a time will come when they will take hold of him that is a Jew to lead them to the truth of Jesus Christ and the Messiah and the things of God. Isn't that incredible? That time is coming. There's evangelists already sealed for that time that are going to preach the gospel. People that are going, Jewish evangelists that are going to talk about Jesus in the book of Revelation. Amen. And the Bible said they're going to lay hold of the coat of him that is a Jew and say, show me the way. Can you say amen? Show me the way. And the forces of the Gentiles in that day will be given into, amen, into Israel. And there'll be a great time of blessing. We've taken that with a worldview, with this gimme attitude. And we've taken that out of the prophetic future, brought it into our selfish now. And we're preaching out there that all that Hollywood's got and all that the world has and the entertainment, all of that is going to be given to us. We're going to become the rich of the world and the regal of the world. And we pull that verse of Scripture out of a prophecy concerning the restoration of Israel when Christ returns. And how do we get away with pulling stuff out of context? Because there's everybody's following the personality and not looking at the Scripture. And what makes us look so silly, amen, and erroneous, is that credible Bible scholars look at that and say, how can they do that and keep a straight face? It's not that people will go into error. How can all of these so-called Christians that have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of what? The Spirit of what? Truth. To guide them into truth. Listen, the only way the Holy Spirit can guide us into truth is begin to reveal that truth from the Word of God. Not just through the mouth of the people speaking, but the Word itself. Every person speaking for God from a pulpit is subject to the authority of Scripture. No one is so anointed they can't be confronted if they're wrong biblically. Can you say amen? No, listen to me. I want you to understand that no one is that anointed that they can be extra biblical and not be submitted to the test of Scripture. Because anointed people, like Simon Peter, go into error. So do you follow him because people are getting healed under his ministry when he's in doctrinal area? No, you withstand him to the face, for he is to be blamed. But when pride enters the heart, most of these people will not accept any kind of questioning. How can you question me? When Jim Baker was deceived, he said it as he preached himself. You know what he said? He said, people tried to tell me. People tried to communicate with me. And they told me, you can't sell these things. We got more rooms out there sold than you're overselling. We can't keep selling. And he turned and he told them, hey, you're witnessing the miracle of the fish and loaves. No, it wasn't. It was a violation of federal law and spiritual law. You don't just take in people's money knowing that when they want to come there, it's going to be overbooked. In the name of building what? Something that can rival Knott's Berry Farm? Something that can get as big as Disney World? Is God in the entertainment business? Or is he concerned about saving souls? Can you say amen? I remember going one time, and I wanted to go to PTL because I went there one time, and they had the big barn auditorium. They had guest speakers, and they had a kind of a perpetual camp meeting type of atmosphere. And I thought, boy, it's a nice place to go. There's a little place here. I was going through that nervous exhaustion, and there was ducks came into the lake in the evening, and they flew out in the morning. And it was just one of those places out. I like to get out. Amen. If you ever wake up some morning and there's some preacher sitting down there with them, with the goats and whatever, amen, you say, Brother Venable's depressed, but he's come here to get better. Just let me heal. Amen. Well, I probably wouldn't do that, but, I wouldn't do that. But it would be a nice place. It's out like, PTL used to be that way. And I got away and I was hurting. I was hurting. It was cold and gray. That's the worst thing about Carolina. It is so pretty in the spring. It is so pretty in the summer. It is even pretty in autumn. But when it gets near the winter, it gets gray and the clouds look like they come down and it almost closes you in. And it was 38 degrees and raining. And honey, that's a miserable, wet, cold, situation for a Florida boy. Amen. But I thought, I'm going to get to PTL. I'm going to book a room there. I'm going to stay on the grounds. I'm going to be in church every night. God's going to move. And I got to PTL, and I was on a limited budget. And I got to PTL, and now the hotels were grand hotels. And the room back then, this was years and years ago, was $85 a night. Plus, they had state and federal tax on that. It would be over $100 a night for me to stay there. And I realized, in my budget, I couldn't stay very long. So I went back to the La Quinta Inn back up near the interstate. Here I walk into the La Quinta Inn for $29.95 a night, single room on sale. And I walked into La Quinta, amen, and I'd been to somewhere and got me some little old sandwich or something, you know, fast food. And I'm sitting there with my fast food in my little room, amen. And I'm just sitting there thinking, dear Lord, I come all this way and I can't even really stay in the hotel because I can't afford it, because it got beyond normal people. Can you say, man, it kept going and going. We're going to make this thing grand and great. And I thought, you know, I need spiritual help. And I went in and I sat down on the bed and got a bad case of the poor old me's. I mean, I sat down and felt so sorry for me. I thought, Lord, you know, here I come and here I am, and it's gray, it's rainy, it's cold, it's lonely. I wanted to get in a Holy Ghost meeting and get a touch, and here I am. And right in that situation and that gloominess, the preciousness of the Lord began to come into my heart. And God spoke to me, and He said, you exalt me above how you feel. You exalt me above your circumstances. The issue was exalting Jesus, exalting Jesus. Honey, when I turn on TV, I want something. I want to hear something about my Savior, my Master, my Lord. You understand what I'm telling you? Amen. Money can't buy you this. Fame can't buy you this. Fortune can't buy you this. That peace that gave me enough courage and strength to hang on to God through all that I was going through could only come through one person. Hallelujah. And His name is Jesus Christ, and He's more valuable to me than all of the silver and all of the gold and all of the fortune and all of the fame. In that little acquaintance to end, Christ came and said, exalt me, exalt me, exalt me. Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. When He comes, He will testify of me, Jesus said. He'll exalt Jesus. Beware of any ministry that exalts the Holy Spirit above Jesus Christ, because the true manifestation of the Holy Spirit puts Jesus on the throne. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He'll always point to Jesus, because God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name that is named in heaven and things in earth and things beneath the earth. So I want to hear about Him. There's something about me around Christmas. I want to hear about Him. Resurrection, Easter Sunday, I really want to hear about Him. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? When someone is so into their hard sell, they can't talk about Him. They can't take a break from selling the gospel long enough to talk about Him. And I want to tell you something else. I don't want to just hear about Him. I want to hear about Him on the cross. Amen. I want to hear about Jesus and Him crucified. Come on, this is not something that we need to delete because we're way past that. Honey, we never get past that. It is the centerpiece of the gospel. It is the foundation upon which everything else is built. Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus and Him on the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but everybody that's really saved, everybody that's really saved, it is the power of God. We know that's the message that gripped our heart and changed our life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because the mighty Holy Ghost will always point to Jesus. When you look to Jesus, do you look to Him as just your financier, just your counselor, just the one that gets you out of trouble and blesses you materially? No, you look at Jesus suffering on the cross for you. Amen. Looking unto, listen. This is not a message to be interpreted. I just feel such an anointing here tonight about truth and what the Holy Ghost really came here to do. The Bible said we're to run with patience, laying aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset us. We're to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, not just looking to Him as our source, not just looking to Him as our supplier, not just looking to Him as the one who delivers us or heals us, but we're to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Consider Him. How are we to look? How are we to look? What are we to be looking at? How are we to see Him? How are we to understand and perceive Him? Consider Him, the next verse says, that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself. Where did He suffer like that? He suffered on the cross. Can you say amen? He suffered in Pilate's hall. He suffered when they stripped Him and they beat Him and they pressed the crown of thorns upon His brow. Amen. He suffered for us. See Him suffering for you. You know what that does? It gets your heart involved in something called the first love. Take this whole world, amen, when the heart's in love with Him, and give me Jesus becomes our anthem and becomes our song of praise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We don't need, frankly, the forces of the Gentiles given unto us. We need what God offers us in Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, somebody give God praise. Take you no thought for your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. For your Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Look at those lilies down there. They don't toil or spin. But Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed as one of these. If your Father so clothed the lilies of the field, how will He not also clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Can you say amen? This is not believing God for your clothing. The next verse says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm preaching tonight because I put the kingdom first. I could have a bigger home and a better car if I didn't put the kingdom first. I quite frankly could. You said, well, and it just could be, God may give me all of that stuff. Doesn't have to. Won't bother me at all. My little Buick is sweet. Every time you hear about a little Buick Regal, someone says, I saw an old lady driving a Buick Regal. Sister Venable may have to trade cars. But heard a comedian the other night said, it's behind an old lady in a Buick Regal. No frills, but it's got everything on it. It's a sweet ride. It's supposed to get good gas mileage now. We got the, you know, got it tuned up. 28 miles on the road. Amen. V6, power seat, six-way. Good air conditioning. Great stereo. I mean, you know, leather seats. You know, got it for a great price. God had it, you know, this coating put on. I mean, God just gave us a deal, but it's not impressive when you drive up. I mean, it's not like driving up in a Mercedes or not like driving up in a Jaguar. Oh, it is Jaguar. Amen. It's not a Jaguar like I thought all these years. It's a Jaguar. Amen. Everybody say Jaguar. Jaguar. Amen. That's where you put Jaguar. Amen. Amen. So I'm not impressing anybody, but I'm telling you something. I'm a happy camper. Praise God. Amen. Jesus came to me in that hotel room. And I didn't have to be in the big barn auditorium, and no name evangelist had to be touching me for Him to love me enough to come to me and talk to my heart and say, start exalting my name. And I sat there and lifted my hands and got rid of the poor old me's and started exalting Him, because I considered Him that suffered such a great contradiction against Himself for me on the cross, and it pulled me out of my poor old me's. Lest you be weary, the Bible said, and faint in your own mind. Look to Jesus on the cross. 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 So in this day of great deception, the cross is being decentralized. It's hard to hear a message about the cross. Why? It's been preached. And to get people's ear, we got to preach something new and different, new and improved gospel. A new and improved gospel has nothing to do with the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen? It can never become new. It was new to the first generation. It'll never be new again. There's nothing new about it. It's not supposed to be new. Can you say, man, it's supposed to stand as it was delivered. Everybody say, stand as it was delivered. You say, but Brother Venable, we won't see the crowds come in if we keep preaching what was preached then. Honey, this is not about how many people come to church. This is about how many people come to Christ. Amen. Can you say amen? There's a vast difference. Come on, I live out here in the real world. I'm not wrapped up in clergy world. Amen. There's a whole lot of church-going people that, I'm telling you the truth, they have little or no regard for Christ, His Lordship, or anything concerning Him. They can sit in a solemn assembly and receive Holy Communion, living in total rebellion and sin and not bat an eye. That's very dangerous. We've lost the fear of the Lord. We've lost the awesomeness. We've lost the respect for Him, His house, His word. And that's why the only parts of the word we want to hear. The Bible said another sign of the last days in a time of deception. It said the time will come when men and women will not endure. If you tell them the truth, they won't want to hear it. They will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, I want the teachers that tell me what I like here. And I've heard it put this way. I believe it that way. This is how I believe. As if what you believe makes it right. Wouldn't it be something in elementary school even, if someone put 2 and 2 are 5. And the teacher says, wrong. And the student says, but I believe it this way. You know, we got a day here when absolute truth is something nobody wants to hear, and many Christians have bought into that worldview. There is an absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. They said, what is truth? He said, take a good look. I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Wow. No man comes to the Father. No man. No man! How much clearer can that be except through me? Are we Christians trying to prove we're right and all the other world religions are wrong? No, we're trying to prove He's right. And let God be true. And every man become the liar when we oppose Him. Can you say amen? Every man, every man, every man. But we've got strong, persuasive people in leadership today. That because of the people who follow them and the riches that pour into them. I think there was, out of 6 major televangelists, there was 750 something billion that came in revenue into the 6 major ministries in the Pentecostal circuit and television. In one denomination in America, there was within 50 million of the same amount came in. In the 6 televangelists, there was 2 orphanages supported, 1 Christian school, and a couple of missionaries. In the denominational organization with the same income, there was 235 Christian schools. There was 250 some missionaries supported. It just showed the difference in what we value. Same budget, but different value. One, just what can I achieve and how much grander can I be? And another saying, how can we get the gospel? How can we help more people? How can we educate more people and send them forth as missionaries and ministers? That's a value system. Hello? And the numbers don't lie. And we're following people with mirror. The world's value system. We envy them because we want what they've got. They need to be wanting what we have. The least in the kingdom is so great in the spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That doesn't mean we live in poverty. It said the Father's going to take care of your ride, your clothes, your food. Don't spend your money, time, effort, energy focusing on those things from Him or building your faith for those things. Seek first the kingdom of God. Heard that twisted all up by people that I had used to have great respect for, but when they chopped it all up and they said God's righteousness is His way of doing things, and then they presented faith formulas to get things with. And I thought, no, God's righteousness is way different than just his way of doing things. And in other words, you find this faith formula of getting things. Once you discover that, you can get anything you want. I thought, no, God's righteousness, when you bow down before him and allow his reign and rule in your life. If you're a servant, you obey your master when you bow to him. And you do it from the heart. Not as with eye service as a man pleaser, but really from the heart. Amen. If you've got enough to meet your basic fundamental needs, be content. And if you have Christ, if he doesn't promote you to the CEO, it's okay. Amen. Love God, love people, thank him for what you have, for godliness with him. We brought nothing into this world. Listen, how practical is this? For we brought nothing into this world. And guess what, church? Amen. We're not going to take anything out. Nothing is going out of this world but your spirit. Your body ain't even going out. Can you say amen? I told you about the t-shirt I saw in the gym, you know, with the balding guy. Amen. We're all getting there, but amen, this guy was there. Amen. He was already there. And he was rotund and balding, you know, but he was working out in the gym, you know, keeping his New Year's resolution, but he had the correct t-shirt on. I came into this world fat and bald-headed. I'm going out the same way. I thought that was a good t-shirt. We didn't bring anything into this world. We can't take anything out of this world. But godliness. Godliness with contentment. That's the true riches. It's great gain. We got so many people discontent. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I won't leave you. Amen. We got Jesus. His commitment to be with us all the way. Having food and raiment in Jesus. Woo! I said having food and raiment in Jesus. You didn't hear me tonight. I said having food and raiment in Jesus. Commitment to never leave us or forsake us. Let him therewith be content. If that can't make you happy, you're just like the world. And you don't appreciate Jesus. Jesus ought to be able to be more satisfactory. He ought to be able to come in. I watch people. You know what I'm watching? I'm watching little foxes, things that we can't categorize as great sins, but they are, it's signs of going back. It's signs of wanting to please the world, be accepted by the world, respected by the world. Little foxes that are starting to spoil the vine. Amen. Little foxes, little compromises. Doesn't take the big stuff. When I see the little stuff, a warning flag goes up because I said, it's coming. Worse stuff is coming. Because the devil will not be satisfied with that little inroad. He wants it all, but he's got to start with an inroad somewhere. Can you say, man, that's the Bible. That's why the Bible said when you're dealing with your enemy, give no ground, not even a little bit. Give no place to the devil. Because if you don't give any, he that's in you is so much greater. Hey, man, he can't take anything from you. Can you say, man? And he's got to steal before he can kill and destroy. He starts as a thief. And truth is one of the things he wants to steal from the church. Preachers leading huge congregations that don't know the truth about Jesus. The Bible spoke of men pleasers. Remember Aaron? The Bible said Aaron feared the people. We need some preachers that fear the Lord. Amen. Aaron was a priest and Moses trusted him and Moses went into the mountain. While Moses was gone, there was no evidence of the presence of God with Israel. Amen. So the children of Israel said, we need to fashion something we can see to worship. We'll worship God on our own terms. Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and he went up and God spoke to him. If you ever saw the old Cecil B. DeMille movie, The Ten Commandments, I love the way he stood up there with empty stone tables, and God, amen, began to write on those tables, thou shalt not. And he wrote on those tables of stone. He was gone for 40 days. Amen. 40 days, the leader of Israel was gone. And within 40 days, those people that saw the Red Sea part, those people that saw, amen, the mighty victory over a world empire army, those people that followed Miriam on the hillsides and said, our God is a man of war, those people that drank from water that came out of a flinty rock. Can you say amen? Because God made it pour out of that rock without any other source. Those people that saw a pillar of fire, amen, at night and a cloud by day said, we are going to fashion a God after our own perception. And they came to Aaron and melted down all their gold and jewelry. The Bible said he brought them out with silver and gold. And what did they do with it? They melted it down to make it an object of worship. Not to keep them independent from other nations that they would have become indebted to, but actually, come on, and keep them out of the world, but to bring them into the paganism of the world. Deception had already set in. That's why we need strong leadership in the church that can speak out and not worry about the consequences, that fear God more than men. And so they brought all of this to Aaron and said, Aaron, we can melt the gold down and get it to where it can be molded, but only you, you're a craftsman, you can make the mold, and we want you to make a calf. And the Bible said Aaron feared the people. Aaron feared the people. If I don't give them what they want, I will fall out of grace with them. If I don't give them what they... See, that's what breeds false teachers. Amen. People that want to be accepted because of their own ego, amen, rather than to tell the truth at the risk of being rejected by anybody. And we've got kind of a gospel out there that's a pseudo-gospel. It is nothing near the original. The original gospel is an offense. It is. It's offensive. It's offensive. It's offensive. Christ said every other religion is phony. I'm the way. It took blood to save you. I'm the only one that could shed that blood. Everyone else is an imposter. That's offensive. So, it's true. Listen, Jesus is the biggest liar that ever lived, or he is the truth that he said he was. And since he rose from the dead to validate everything he said, amen, I tend to follow the one that's alive. Can you say amen? And he saved my undying soul. And he changed my life. And sometimes when I'm preaching, I feel him near me. Praise God. I love that picture. I feel connected to the apostles. I feel connected to the prophets, not because I see apparitions in this room, but because I'm preaching the truth that they delivered to the church. I feel like I'm in league with Isaiah. When I preached from Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. I'm in league, praise God, with the Apostle John when he began to preach. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Hallelujah. Now I feel in league with Jesus who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. That infuriates the world. So that's why Larry King asked one minister that he had on his broadcast. He asked a prominent minister not long ago about that same thing. And he said, I'm going to let God deal with that. God has dealt with it.
Yes, he has. Amen. Amen. Yes, he did.
Clearly. Amen. Concisely. How can you lead 30,000 people in a church and hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands by television and not know the fundamental truth that Jesus is the only way to God? And how can we not say it nationally when so many people are looking and listening? And a little retraction doesn't take away what was televised. It just doesn't do it. Thank God for some Christians that confronted it and said, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the young man conceded that it wasn't, but he shouldn't have been in a pulpit if he didn't know that. I'm sorry. I am sorry. This sold. If you can get to God other ways, amen, then you can go to hell believing you're going to heaven. This is serious. This is too serious to play with. There were people that would misguided theological views that went out proselyting. Jesus said, you can pass land and sea. What is a proselyte? A conversion to your faith. Is that you're proselyting. You're bringing people into your theology, your point of view. And these were people who were supposed to know the truth who didn't. But they were out doing missionary work. Most people in error are very, very active in missionary work. When Romania opened up and you could take the gospel to Romania, the missionaries over there bringing God's truth to them said, pray, 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 because we're not the only ones coming here. There are the cults and there are the others that are coming in with something that sounds like the gospel, but when you examine it, really is not the gospel. The Bible spoke of those that would bring in damnable heresies. That means departures from truth that can put a soul in jeopardy. Can you say, man, a damnable heresy? A heresy, an untruth that can damn a soul is a serious untruth. And we can't, that's it, we can't afford it in order to be embraced by the populace to make the gospel palatable to more people. We're not trying to run people away from Jesus. We're trying to let them know that He is who He said that He was, and they need look no further. He will, in fact, let you know the truth, and the truth will, in fact, set us free from sin's condemnation, Satan's power. Hallelujah. And the consequence of sin. Oh, it is Jesus. In every generation, the truth must be defended and the truth must be earnestly contended for. The generation that doesn't fight for truth will lose the truth, and the next generation will go into error, saith the Spirit of God. There's an irreverence. Now, we take liberties with Scripture. In the Bible printing business, we don't mind calling Mary a young woman instead of the virgin. And we present Jesus in a worldview, in a palatable way. There's a world church coming. There's going to be an umbrella over religions. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the wars and fighting is going to cease when it comes on the scene, because a lot of these things, just like Islam and Christianity, are based in a religious platform. What happened in Ireland, largely, there's religious stuff going on. There's so many wars that are fired by religious points of view. Christians don't want to kill anybody. Christians don't want to twist somebody's arm and convert them. We just want to lift high Jesus on the cross and invite people to come to know Him and love our enemies and pray for them that despitefully use us. But if you say He's the only way to God, they classify you as any of the rest of the radicals. We can't stand a praying president. And a lot of the Hollywood stars that we buy their movies and we laugh at their comedy, amen, they hate anyone who prays. I've heard them on the talk shows denigrating the President of the United States because he prays. You may not agree with his political view. I'm not even talking about political views. I'm talking about someone who prays at all. Any illusion. And someone who believes in creationism. They feel like that is for stupid people. Only stupid people would believe in a God who created the earth. Intelligent, enlightened people do not. So give me a church where intelligent, enlightened people go. And I'll come. Where we can have a worldview, where we can have a God of our own creation. So Aaron feared the people. You know what? When Paul was called of Christ, the Bible said he was delivered of men. All that influence that the Sanhedrin had on him was broken when he met Christ on the road to Damascus. Amen. He went against all the things that they were standing for. He was ostracized. And he said, you know, there was a time that really meant something to me, their acceptance and my background. He said, because if I have reason to boast in the flesh, amen, if any man has a reason to boast, I more, because I am a Jew of the Jews. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Can you say, man, I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And by the way, while we're talking about the law, I was blameless. They couldn't accuse me of breaking one of the commandments. They couldn't. God accused us all of breaking it, but the Sanhedrin couldn't find anything against him. Can you say amen? And then he said this, all of these credentials, amen, and Christ and truth. You know what he said? He said, listen, the things that I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung, that I might know Jesus Christ. They can't influence me anymore. They can't have any sway over me anymore. Oh, hallelujah. And you know why Peter went into error? Because some people high in the religious order of the Jews come down and said, preach Christ if you want to, but get people to be circumcised, trying to mingle, amen, law and grace, and just preach exclusively to us. We're the chosen people. And Paul withstood him to the face because he was given in to those people. People can put you on such a pedestal that you'll give them what they want. God wants his preachers to stay humbled. And believe me, if you preach the truth, there'll be enough persecution to keep you humble. Or make you compromise, one or the other. This is so typical of human nature as we close tonight. Aaron feared the people, so he crafted the mold for the golden calf, knowing it was wrong, but giving the people what they wanted. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. I'll make you a millionaire. I'll give like you ain't never seen. We'll build that building that says you have arrived and succeeded. You will be on television. You will have a great following. Tell me what I want to hear. I'll make you rich if you'll tell me what I want to hear. I'll pour out my pocketbook if you'll tell me what I want to hear. Honey, we need to want to hear truth. Because truth will set you free. One of the things that sets you free from is this worldview. You lose it. And what freedom it is to not always be looking over there as if yet the Joneses. I don't know who the Joneses are, but I hear them mentioned a lot. Can you say amen? Always looking over there with a longing heart. Amen. Saying, I wish I had that. I'd be happy if I had that. You've got Jesus and food and raiment. Quit it. Everybody say, just quit it. Amen. Take this. What did y'all just sing about Jesus? What was that song? Give me who? Take what? Wait a minute now. Wait, what did you just get through singing? What is it? Give me Jesus. Take what? Take the whole world, but give me Jesus and I'm going to be okay. Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding. Give me this whole world and then give me Jesus. No, no, no. Listen, if it comes between all the world and its splendor, you know what the devil did? Took Jesus up in a high place and showed him the kingdoms of this world and said, I have it within my power to give you these kingdoms. Don't think that the devil can't bless in order to promote his lie. He can, he does. Amen. I read of a professional boxer's son that was coming along and following his dad. I preached it, amen, at a Baptist church in Plant City that was completely, except for one lady, was people of color. And this boxer, I forget his name, but he was a prominent ex-heavyweight champion of the world. And his son, Marvin Frazier, his son was coming along. And in the boxing game, he was rising through the ranks as a young boxer. He won golden gloves. He was getting ready to go to the Olympics. And it's a short step if you win in the Olympics to get into the professional realm and make the big bucks and wear all the gold. Honey, you got to work out just to wear all the gold. Can you say amen? I said, gold is heavy. Did you know gold is heavy? I wouldn't know much about it, but I mean, you know, gold is heavy. Amen. And I see people with so much gold, I hope they never fall in water. Amen. It will weigh them down. They'll have to get rid of it to come to the surface. So much gold. And he wanted all of that. He wanted all the fortune and the fame. And his dad began to talk to him and tell him, you know, he said, the boxing game is a rough game. It'll chew you up. It'll spit you out. And told him all about it. But he couldn't say, listen, there's a point where kids don't want to listen to the parents. They want to do their thing. Let him alone. Let her alone. I'm just kidding, but I love you. I just saw your mom elbow you. Amen. Yeah, Joe Frazier. Amen. His son was Marvis, I think. He's coming up. And Marvis Frazier had everything set on winning the Olympics so he could go on into the professional realm. And he said, I got there and I got beat. And he said, it was like my whole world crumbled. But then he said, he began to turn his life to different things than just having to be in that that realm and that have that aura that we're teaching that you've got to have to be fulfilled and happy. You've got to be somebody so special and so great. And then he went on to say that he found a relationship, and I don't know if it's still standing. I'm talking about right after that terrible defeat and all his dreams shattered. He said, but I found something more important than being a boxing champion. I found Jesus Christ could fulfill my life. Is that rich or what? There's a lot of people out there that have squandered their wealth, ended up punched drunk, and ended up messed up. Amen. Messed up marriages and messed up life that had it all. But not anybody that makes Jesus the Lord of their life. Amen. Honey, there are no losers in the kingdom.
Amen.
Everybody is a somebody in the kingdom of God. Not because the world applauds you, but because Jesus accepts you. Can you say amen? And loves you and commits himself to you. Everybody is a somebody. In fact, God calls us, every one of us, saints. In Roman Catholicism, you have to be canonized. You have to have one miracle. They're trying desperately to find a miracle to make some lady a saint. If they could find one supernatural so-called miracle, she could be canonized and men could make her a saint. Every child of God, Paul said, greet the saints. Every one of us. Isn't that incredible? We have not only saints, we're sons. You want me to go after what the world is after when I'm a bona fide son of the living God and I can cry, Abba, Father, and he gives me his ear and heart just like he does to Jesus? And you tell me I'm missing something? Take this whole world. Give me Jesus. George Beverly Shea had a